The greatest danger, of course, Temeraire realized, even through the distancing haze of fury, was they should overshoot the thieves and miss them entirely. The men were carrying the egg, which should be a difficult burden for them. If they did not have wagons, Tharkay thought they did not, and of course they were walking upon the ground in so tiresome a way, having to work through the brush.
"We cannot only fly straight after them on the trail," he told Iskierka. "Otherwise we should soon go much further than they could possibly be, and meanwhile I am sure they should have hidden themselves somewhere aside, and be waiting for us to pass. We must be sure they are not in the countryside before we fly on out of it."
"I think we must fly sweeps," Lawrence said, and sketched for them the pattern. They should keep the trail in the centre of their course, and fly first zigging west and then north, in arcs like a swinging broom. Iskierka jetted steam from her spikes restlessly.
"How far do you think they might manage to the side of the trail?" she asked. "If we go flying off all over the place, they will get ahead of us after all, and they might have horses, even if they don't have wagons."
They decided after some debate on a span of 5 miles in either direction, and continuing northwest began the flying pattern. It was hard, distressing flying. Every bit of pale stone that caught the eye made Temeraire's heart leap uncomfortably in his chest, lest it should be the smooth, creamy pale shell speckled black. So he was reminded at every turn of their dreadfully urgent purpose, and his head ached, too, from staring fixedly down at the ground. Iskierka, who did not have so many people to carry, dived over and over towards some flash of movement, and over came away only with some useless bit of game, a wretched kangaroo, or one of the stringy leg cassowaries. She shared with Temeraire, at least, so they might eat as they flew, and thus waste no further time. And she was, he could not deny, very quick to see the little flashes of movement. It was comforting not to be quite alone in the search. Iskierka was wrong-headed and irresponsible in almost every particular, and no one could enjoy her company, but in this one instance, where they were of united mind and purpose, he might acknowledge her a valuable presence. On occasion, very few occasions, of course, she even saw something which he himself had not just yet noticed.
"Is that—" he began, and Iskierka dived at once. There was a knot of trees and low, coarse shrubbery where he thought he had seen a glimmer of movement.
She blasted the stand with fire, a quick, hot roaring which did not properly catch in the greenery, but would have stunned any enemy within, and then tore into the trees, saplings and bushes cast aside into a singed heap while she thrust her head within and searched, reaching in her talons to claw and snatch at the ground. And withdrew. She had a few small rodents collected in a handful of dirt, asphyxiated, dead, and barely each of them a bite. They ate them anyway, raw and uncleaned. It was of a piece with the sensation Temeraire recognized of being removed from a place of conscious thought. But then, at present, thought was not necessary, nor desirable, and neither was anything like sensibility. They needed only fly, and seek, and hunt so far as was needed to sustain life. He could not be very sorry to be reduced to an animal state at present, when he must suffer otherwise a fresh dose of self-recrimination. Iskierka, he had to admit, had not accused him. She might have said, "What were you about to let the egg be left unguarded?" Or she might have reproached him for sleeping, or sleeping so soundly that someone had managed to spirit it away. She had not. Of course, Temeraire might have answered back with the same charge, but he had kept charge of the eggs all the long way from Britain. Iskierka had not had a full share in looking after them. He had not let her have it, and if he had, he was miserably forced to consider, perhaps she would have been more wary or more alert, perhaps she would not have let the egg be taken. He had much rather not think at all than think along such lines. He tore into his little wombats for what virtue they had. They were thin and lean, but each one a small, hot bite of juice, revitalizing.
"Are you hungry, Lawrence?" Temeraire asked, surfacing only so far from his intent preoccupation.
"No, we do well enough with biscuit, have no fear on that score," Lawrence said. "But, my dear, we cannot keep searching for very much longer tonight. The light is failing."
"We can make torches,"
Iskierka said, and turning set her claws into one of the larger eucalypts, shaking it back and forth until at last its roots came loose. A torrent of fire ignited the treetop and made an oily flame, pungent and queerly medicinal in smell. But it was not quite so easy as it might have sounded to throw the light properly onto the ground, and when Iskierka had made a torch for Temeraire, he found that holding it was awkward, particularly as he had to be careful of the last little egg hanging forward on his breast, and the convicts slung below in his netting whenever the wind pushed the fire towards his belly. He saw the torchlight flicker in reflection on something on the ground and turned quite by instinct. Cries warned him, and he jerked the torch abruptly aside, but in so doing singed his talons painfully and dropped it. He half reached for the falling torch, but then he reconsidered, and went instead for that small reflection while he yet could place where it had come from. But he only landed upon stone, and clawing away found only more. Iskierka brought her light over, and it shone abruptly in red and green and pearlescent fire on a narrow vein his scraping had exposed in the rock.
"Opal!" Tharkay said.
The stone was beautiful, and under any other circumstances Temeraire would have greeted the discovery with the utmost pleasure. He could feel nothing for it now, nothing in the least, but only the sharp and bitter disappointment of failure and regret.
"I am very sorry. I beg you will not press on again. You cannot help but miss more than you find with this method," Lawrence said quietly. "The nights are grown short in this part of the world. Dawn will come soon, and you must have some rest in any case. Better to sleep a little while and rise at the earliest traces of light."
The fallen torch was burning down to embers, a little distance off, the only gleam of light anywhere around. All the night seemed very black, but for the spray of stars above, and that last orange glow. Iskierka, with a low hiss of frustration and wrath, flung her own torch aside and cast herself down in a restless, coiling tumble to sleep. Temeraire stayed only long enough to be unloaded, although he said,
"No, you may leave it there, and the harness. I find I can sleep quite well with it on after all,"
when they would have taken off the little egg. He felt very weary suddenly, although he would not have stopped, not for anything, if only there had been any way of continuing the search. He arranged himself carefully on the ground, propped up a little and with the last egg bracketed within his arms, where no one could have come at it without disturbing him. It did not quite answer, though. Uneasily he realized he was used to people clambering over him, so small and light as they were he might never notice. He decided he should only rest, but sleep stole treacherously over him, his head drooped, his eyelids sank shut, and then the wind shifted, or a branch rubbed along his wing, and he managed to jerk awake again. He nosed anxiously at the egg and made sure all was well, and then the enemy's sleep was creeping up again. He was so tired. And then Lawrence, dear Lawrence, put a hand on his forearm and climbed over to sit beside the egg.
"Pray get as much rest as you can," he said. "I can sleep tomorrow when you must be flying."
"Thank you, Lawrence. It shall be the greatest comfort to me,"
Temeraire said gratefully, and sleep might be allowed to come at last. He closed his eyes on the deeply reassuring sight of the gleam of Lawrence's drawn sword lying across his knees to be sharpened, and fell at once into slumber.